Transferring wealth successfully starts with asking yourself questions that will give your family a better life now and for generations to come. In this podcast, financial professionals John and Michael from Copper Beach Financial Group guide you through eye-opening questions to help you discover the truth about your wealth. Now, on to the show.
Hello and welcome to The Truth About Wealth with John and Michael Parise of Copper Beach Financial Group. Hey there, guys.
Hey, Wendy.
Hey, Wendy.
How's everything going?
Super.
Good. Yeah.
Super. All right.
Going pretty
rolling into the new year. How's that?
Yeah, it's here. It's ready. It's feeling like January.
Yes, it is. You know, a little snow on the ground, which is a rarity, or has been a rarity for us in the Northeast over the last couple of years. But
and that was okay.
Yeah. I know. Except for my kids. My kids were very happy with the snow.
Did they make a snowman?
They don't have to shovel anything. That's why.
Yeah, I know. Not yet, anyway. We'll Did teach them hard snowman? Work values as they get older. What was that? I'm sorry.
Did they make a snowman?
They tried, but you know, I don't think it was
too dry.
Yeah, too dry.
Oh, the snow.
Too cold.
So. Yeah. Bummer. Okay. So what are we going to be talking about today, guys?
Well, we thought that this is, we are recording this towards the beginning of the year in January. So we wanted to kind of touch on a couple things today in preparation mainly for the expiration of some tax provisions that went into effect in 2017 called the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, or TCJA for short. So we wanted to touch on that because we are now entering into 2024. And as we'll talk a little bit about, a lot of these tax code provisions that were put in place during the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, when that was enacted, are going to be expiring at the end of next year. So we not any immediate emergency need to really look at this now, but we always try to counsel our clients to start thinking about a lot of these things not next year. And one thing that we're
be proactive
and talking to your advisors. I think if you're a listener of this podcast, you kind of probably heard us talk about that ad nauseum about being proactive as best you can, because very often the advisor community out there, it's, I don't think necessarily their fault, but they aren't doing that. And oftentimes that leaves clients either stuck in the middle or trying to figure out what needs to be done. And it might be too late to take advantage of some of these expiring tax cuts here. So it is important to kind of talk to your advisors about now. So that's one thing we wanted to talk about. And then I think we also wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, again, it being a new year, maybe some other things that, you know, you could think about out there as a listener that, you know, you should revisit in your planning now that's it's a new year. So
yeah, we've talked about that in the past, specifically different podcasts, but I thought we'd just do a roundup of like a checklist of things they should be thinking about so early in the year that become important at the end of the year if you don't focus on it at the beginning of the year. So it's one of those, just a conversation.
Yeah. I mean, I know with the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, is that, again, if for those that aren't familiar with this, these are the commonly referred to as the Trump tax cuts because they were put in place under President Trump. And a great many of the key provisions of that law, because of the way that the government had to pass it via the reconciliation process, there had to be sort of a deadline for when these, or for how long these tax cuts could be in effect. And so that's really expiring through 2026. So a lot of, you know, it's funny how accustomed we all can get to tax laws, believe it or not, particularly in business, that a lot of these are now going to be expiring and they could have a radical change, you know, in your personal planning. So it's important to be proactive. But you know, we've been hearing a lot, even already from other advisors, both in the tax realm and the legal realm, about really how busy 2025 is going to be because of these tax laws that changes that are going to be expiring. And a lot of people are going to do planning during next year. And it's not to say that, you know, you won't be able to get the planning done if you wait till next year, but it probably will be a much more comfortable experience, let's say, if you do it earlier, assuming, you know, you're comfortable or otherwise comfortable doing it, because 2025 is going to be very busy and might, you know, we never like to see families or clients make rash decisions without fully understanding it. And a lot of advisors saying, hey, if you don't get to me by, you know, September of 2025, I'm not going to be able to, I'm just predicting it now. I'm not going to be able to help you.
And we will be reminding people in 25 as well.
So yes.
We'll be proactive on our side via the podcast to keep reminding people they have to start paying attention.
Yeah, I mean, and to kind of jump right into that, I know that, and we've been talking about this a lot on prior podcasts, but it's top of mind with great many of our families and what they're going through, and that's really the estate planning piece of TICCHA, which is this increased gift and estate exemption that we've had, which has basically been doubled. And again, if you've been following this podcast or you've you know done your research, that threshold or that exemption amount is a threshold before this estate and gift tax kicks in, and it's been doubled. So that means you can pass, you know, up to right now, I think over $26 million to the next generation without paying gift or estate taxes. Come 2026, that's overnight going to basically be cut in half. And so you have really now a window, we call it like this free gifting window, where you can transfer really more property to the next generation than you've ever been able to do, really. And so that is something that's very much a use it or lose it situation. So again, one of those, you know, areas of planning that you should start talking to your advisors about now if you haven't already, because very often, particularly when you're dealing with gifting of, let's say, business assets or real estate assets, there's a lot that can go into that whole process, and it does take some time. So again, if you don't want to be rushed into making that decision, you know, or even worse, you know, letting that tax code sunset and not take advantage of it, you should start now, talk to your advisors about how to best use that exemption amount.
Yeah, if you think about it, if you don't take advantage of it, I'll get very specific here. If you listen to that comment that Michael just made, if you utilize this credit before it goes away, it's like saving $5 million for a family. That's what that means. If you really have an estate tax issue, that's what it means. Now, it's not just the tax savings that gets created by just looking at the planning side. But if you put that $5 million in an investment, and again, I'm thinking generationally, and you had it in trust for your grandkids, and you invested that at 10%, it's going to double every 7.2 years in value. So it's not only the tax savings, but what would that asset grow to over a period of time to enhance your generational focus?
Yeah. I mean, it's a really key provision. Again, a lot of our families are looking at this now, and you know, again, we've been really pushing a lot of families to think about it. And it is difficult, right? There's a lot of work that goes into the planning process ahead of time that needs to get done. And very often families, they might get cold feet because they don't fully understand it. So that's, again, another reason why we want to hopefully impart on every listener here just the need to talk about it sooner rather than later. And even if you don't decide to make a move or gift assets to the next generation, at least you've had that conversation. So I think that was right off the top of our head, one thing that we wanted to touch on as well. But there's a couple key, there's a lot of things that are sunsetting, probably more than we have time for today. And maybe it's be good if we do like a part two at some point, Dad, on this topic. But a couple key business areas and tax laws that are probably going to sunset that have, I think, really been beneficial for a lot of our business owners. And the main one, or two of the main ones, one being this qualified business income deduction, 20% income deduction that pass-through business owners have been able to enjoy for the last, you know, again, since 2017. That is going to expire, at least unless the laws change. That'll expire. So again, that's been a nice tax break for a lot of businesses out there.
Big time.
That again is scheduled right now to sunset. So again, if you're doing tax planning or you're working with your accountant on what your tax income tax liability may be, factor that in and start having those conversations now so that you can be prepared. Because one thing that we hear a lot from our families is that they had a meeting with their accountant, and it's after the start of the year, and they're doing tax compliance work from the prior year, and they all of a sudden have to write a much larger check than they were expecting they were going to have to write. And that's never a good situation to be in. So at least if you have these conversations, talk to your accountants about what that might look like in the end of 20.
Yeah, that's why we push families to think about doing tax planning prior to the close of the year. So you could look at all the options they have in the current year to deduct things so you lessen your tax burden.
Yeah. The other one that is coming up a lot for even right now, because this particular provision has been really in a what we call a phase out process. So the tax benefit has been going down every year, and that's the accelerated depreciation for qualified business property. So what that is basically there is property that you can place into service as a business. Think about a piece of equipment that you might buy or to operate your company. There was prior to TICTCHA, there was a schedule on how quickly you could depreciate the value of that, and which essentially write it off on your income taxes. TICTCHA allowed basically bonus depreciation in the first year for the vast majority of TICTCHA being in place. Well, that's already started to phase out. So it used to be 100% you could write off in the first year. That phased down to 80%. It's going to be 60% this year, I believe.
It is.
And it's going to go 40-20. And then eventually it's going to expire in 2026. So again, that's an area, depending on your business and your industry that you're in, that you've probably been taking advantage of, or your tax advisors have been helping you take advantage of, that's really helped lower your income tax burden. That's probably going to go away, or will go away unless the laws change in 2026. And that's, again, another kind of big increase in your tax burden. So again, have those conversations so at least you are prepared for that. And we work with a lot of business owners where we've already been having those conversations that they've been really been able to generate a lot of benefit for their business through that tax provision that's going to be phased out. And actually, I read recently that there's a proposal in Congress that's actually, I think, supported by Senator Wyden, who's a Democrat from Oregon, who typically does not support those types of provisions. He actually, I think, is putting forth some legislation to make that permanent, that bonus depreciation, which would be a pretty big boon to...
Let's hope.
Yeah, to business owners. So that's some other ones that I think we wanted to cover. On the personal side, I think this does have a big benefit, but maybe not as much depending on where you live. But the individual income tax brackets are likely going to increase in 2026 as well. The top bracket right now is 37%. It's going to go up to 39.6, so closer to 40. Not a huge deal, but it's an increase nonetheless, depending on your income level. So keep that in mind as well. There's some changes to the standard deduction as well, which is that has been increased. And that's, again, more on your individual side. That's going to sunset as well. So there's a lot of provisions that are going to change. And again, it's overall going to be a tax hike for most people. So please keep that in mind when you're talking to your advisors. And again, now's actually a good time. We're recording this in January, so you're probably going to be meeting with your CPAs to go over your tax returns and filings from 2023. So it's a good time to, at least you're going to be talking to them, have that conversation with them. A key benefit that is not expiring is the corporate income tax rate, the 21% corporate income tax rate. That is permanent. It's one of the few provisions that was allowed to remain permanent. So if you are a C corporation or structured, your business is structured as a C corporation, that's not going to change. So that's a nice,
which I think is a big positive, because if you look at the tax structures with C corps and S corps, remember S corp is a flow through strategy, which means all your earnings above your salary has to be paid out to you as an S owner, S stock owner. Where a C corporation, the cap is 21% of your taxes, and there's no automatic release flows of any funds or flows unless you wanted to have a dividend kind of a strategy. So you keep more money in a C and invest it into your company and grow assets. So it might be worthwhile talking to your accountant about, if you have an S election, you might want to look at a C strategy because of the tax benefits. So, well, that's something that's a deep dive. I just want to throw that out there. But I think we're starting to see a lot of people look at the C corporation as maybe we should look at that because of the tax planning side to it.
Yeah, I mean, and we did a podcast with Doug Dickey that really covered a lot of this as a prior podcast. So that's I really enjoyed that episode that we did and that talk that we had with him, because for in our world, pass-through entities from S-corps to LLCs were really the preferred business vehicle for smaller business owners. And that might change a little bit now with the permanent 21%. So that is a good point there, Doug.
Yeah, because they made that permanent. That's not going to change with the transition in 2026.
State and local taxes, I think this was a big both politically and tax wise, the $10,000 cap of the SALT deduction that, you know, a lot of individuals in high income tax states like here in New Jersey, in California, New York, and you know, Connecticut, a lot of other places, that cap on state and local taxes, that's also going to expire right now. So that actually, depending on where you live, could be a tax benefit, at least on the state and local side. So another one that popped into my head, I think, is, again, those are kind of the key ones. There's a lot in that that will be sunsetting, but these are, I think, the key ones. Again, I think we should probably have a whole, you know, maybe more of a deep dive on that. But I know you wanted Dad to cover some other things on your side that, you know, maybe just house checklist. Cleaning, yeah, checklist, house cleaning.
I call it a checklist. Yeah. Yeah, before we leave, your thoughts, Michael, the charitable side, we've had a lot of cases where we're working on a charitable lead trust versus the charity annuity trust or the unit trust. Mm-hmm. You want to walk through why, because of interest rates, it might be an advantage today to look at some charitable planning for large IRAs or specific, Jay's, we talked about that in the past, but it just tweaked in my head. Maybe we should just bring that up again while we're talking about taxes.
Well, yeah, that's another thing, charitable deductions and the threshold of which you can use against your adjusted gross income is changing right now. That's 60. It's going to phase down to 50% of a limitation, which is another, I know that wasn't specifically your question,
but it's part of it. Yeah.
But that did pop into my head just now. Yeah, yes. And those types of trusts that we've talked about a little bit in prior episodes, I think we had an earlier episode on charitable lead trust specifically, but those are what we call split interest trusts. And they're part, they're split interest, meaning they benefit charities and also the family as well. And they're two main versions of that, one being the charitable lead trust. And all that means is that you place assets in a trust, the charity receives, let's say, an income stream from that trust for a period of years or for a lifetime. And then at the end of that period, whatever is left in that trust comes back to the family. The lead interest goes to the charity. Charitable remainder trust is the opposite. You place assets in that trust, and then you receive, or your another family member receives, the income from that asset for a period of years or for a lifetime, and then whatever's left over goes to charity. But they are both very interest rate dependent, and they work opposite each other. So when interest rates are higher, if your goal is to get a greater charitable income tax deduction, the charitable remainder trust works better. And when interest rates are lower, the charitable lead trust works better if your focus is on getting a charitable income tax deduction. So interest rates, you know, do play a pretty key role into which at least is most optimal to use. It doesn't mean that you're restricted from using a charitable remainder trust when interest rates are low. It just doesn't tend to be as beneficial if your goal is to maximize charitable income tax deductions and hopefully get more back for your family.
Yeah, that trust design is really, if you look at it specifically for at least the clients, that some of the clients we work with have very large IRAs that they're never going to use, but they're heavily taxed. If you remember, if you have an estate tax and you die with an IRA, you can lose up to 73-74% of that asset in taxation, which is not good. So the great assets while you're living, but when you pass away and you have an estate issue, they're not very attractive. So we see a lot of the families we work with have a charitable designation in that strategy where they rather pay charity than give it to the government per se, but still have a benefit through the way it's designed. So it's an interesting strategy, but again, it's only for people that have really large IRAs typically.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's, we've had quite a few podcasts on the Secure Act and large IRAs. And, you know, I do think it's going to be one of those areas of planning that I think is going to be a need for advisors to really focus on, because I get this sense, I don't have any data to support this, but I get a sense that IRAs are going to become, I don't want to say less important, that's maybe the wrong word, but I think because people are working longer, they tend to be working longer, yep. and the RMD, required minimum distribution age, has been pushed back quite a few years, that I think more and more people are going to be comfortable living their accustomed lifestyle without needing to tap into their IRAs or other qualified plans. And those will become more of a legacy asset or a charitable asset. So I think that there's going to be a lot of planning that advisors in our world are going to need to do specifically for IRAs on the best way to maximize those for for families and clients.
Yeah, again, it's just being proactive. Look at every option available to the family to do high level planning. In this case, not only benefit charity, but it benefit their families as well. So it's an interesting conversation to have, and I think you should have it. All right, let's jump into a kind of a 2024 checklist. This might be repetitive. We've talked about this over the last couple of years, specifically in some podcasts, but it's always a good refresher if you kind of think through a family and what their focus should be. And the first thing that triggers is it's January, New Year. What should a family consider doing right out of the gate is review their plan, their financial plan. I know we get tied up with all the issues with politics and what's going on around this and challenges with inflation, whatever. But that's why this has become more important to really look at your plan as a family, say, where are we going and what do we have to wrestle with? Where should our focus be? So if you don't have a financial plan, get one in place, hire a financial planner, hire a CFP, hire someone that can guide you. If you have one, look at it, read it, tweak it, talk to your advisors, and look at, be proactive and say, what should we be doing differently this year than we did last year, and start that dialogue.
Yeah, I think that one of the things that we're doing with a lot of the families right now in the first quarter and is cash flow and budgeting planning. That's a key topic that we're working with families.
That's more important this year than ever.
Yeah, and so I think that along similar lines to what you were talking about, Dad, but having a cash flow plan, or at least look through what you're spending, and that's sometimes a difficult.
I know you hate doing it, everybody.
It's a chore. I wouldn't even call it an exercise. It's a borderline a chore, but it is good to do. It does, give yourself an idea of what you spend, because, obviously, we have a lot of things going on, particularly around the holidays, that, money can be spent that you weren't sure of. But go back and look at what you're spending on a monthly basis. And I know that's really helpful for us when we're going through cash flow analysis with our families to get that updated data so that we can advise our clients the best way possible on how they should be looking, whether it's budgeting or, again, a legacy play, how much of their asset base they think at least we're projecting to be able to pass to the next generation. Cash flow really becomes an important component. So I would take the time to look into that if you can.
Yeah, again, it's also, when you look at the average family, let's talk about the average family today. I keep reading and talking to some friends of ours that are concerned about their credit card debt. I mean, that's a big, big issue because rates have gone up and people are borrowing more money from their credit cards. So I implore everybody, if you have high credit card levels, start paying them down as quickly as you can, because it's just eroding everything you have. It affects your budgets, affects everything. Just tweak it, look at that, make sure the first thing you should do is pay your debt down as quick as you can, especially those high credit cards. I've been hearing credit cards up to 30%, some of these credit cards, yeah. which is crazy. But that's the world we live in.
And rates have gone up, as I think we all know, but that has an effect on that too. Yeah, that's a good one. Other one, I think I'm looking at the list here that you put together. I think beneficiary changes. I think that's a topic that very often flies under the radar, that is a good idea to look at periodically. Look at the beneficiary designations of your various accounts, if you have them, things like 401k plans or IRAs or life insurance policies. Those flow by beneficiary, and there may be a circumstance in your life that has changed, which might necessitate, where those assets go. And those become really, really important the greater the percentage of your, let's say, your asset base they are. It's kind of going back into an estate planning conversation here, but if you have 90% of your wealth is in a IRA account, as an example, your beneficiary designation is going to control 90% of basically where your wealth goes. You might have a will or other estate planning documents that say something differently, but those accounts or those assets flow by the beneficiary. So it is important to make sure that you look at what those are, whether you want to leave those in trust, which is a whole other conversation. It has to be done carefully in terms of if you leave the benefit or make the beneficiary a trust versus an individual. There's asset protection concerns. So again, things to maybe look at and talk to your advisors on, that would be, I think, a key one for me. So I'm glad you wrote that down.
Yeah, just add to that. I mean, if you look at what assets have beneficiary designations, that's any life insurance you might have, IRAs, 401k plans, any annuities you might have.
Annuities, yeah.
They're all designated by beneficiaries, so they don't go through your will or your trust primarily. It just goes outright to that beneficiary. So look at it. Also, with second marriages, with people getting remarried, a document should be looked at as well. I can't tell you how many times we do an audit on a client, and we found out that some life insurance policies go into a divorced spouse, and they forgot to change that. So just pay attention to it. It's not a bad thing to review what your beneficiary designations and your documents are.
Yeah, I mean, similar conversation. Your trustees, your guardians, your executors, things that people that you may have put in your estate documents to that, you know, God forbid something were to happen to you, would take a very key role in managing your family's assets or raising your children if you have minor children. So making sure that those parties are still current or still who you would want to take over those roles for your family is important as well, because, you know, again, we see this a lot in our reviews where clients maybe put an estate document in place 10, 15 years ago, something has happened, they don't no longer want that person. Maybe that person's has since passed away, or they don't talk to them anymore. Whatever the case is, go back and look at your documents and just at least think about that. Talk to your attorneys, make sure that those people still fit.
Yeah, and if they still fit, you should at least have a dialogue with them at least every couple of years, just to make sure they're still on docket to take that very important role to your family, because it is a very, very important role. We have that conversation all the time. And it's probably the hardest thing, and we've talked about this in the past, is find a good trustee or a trustee that's going to be there when you needed to be there. And remember, that's something you should really, really pay attention to. And so you need to get at least every year or two, talk to the trustee or guardians or whoever you have that's an important party to your family. Make sure that they're on board with what you're trying to accomplish.
Yeah, and also sort of a corollary to this is look at whether there have been drastic, let's say, changes to your world from an asset-based standpoint. And we've talked often about the plateauing effects that we see. And all we mean by that is circumstances change and the people that you're either working with as in your advisor community or that you have in your life taking these roles as, let's say, a trustee or a guardian, you know, things that they were fine for where your family was at that point in time, but circumstances change. You might have a successful business that has grown substantially over the last, let's say, 10 years when you got your documents drafted. And again, having those conversations, start thinking about whether you feel like that person would be able to manage that maybe additional complexity of a much larger business or, you know, a new piece of real estate as an example. Remember, their job very likely is going to be to manage that. And that could be a child, that could be an advisor, it could be a sibling, family, friend, whoever that person is, start thinking about whether they would be able to really manage that effectively and have those conversations, whether they would want to even manage that. To your point, Dad, I think that's yeah. That's a great conversation to have.
Yeah, and the other thing you should do, which I think it's extremely important, if your kids are old enough, you should have an annual meeting with your kids to review all the what-if scenarios that's going to occur while you're still alive or when you pass. Your children are, believe it or not, they're concerned. If they don't have all that information, I can't tell you how many families that I come across where the kids say, "Oh, I'm so happy that you guys are involved, helped my mom and dad. We all sat around worried if they got their wills updated or where things were going. Not that we want to be nosy about what they're doing, but we're concerned that we want to make sure that's correct and it's what they want." So it's an interesting conversation, but I think every year at least, and again, depending on the age of your kids, Michael, what do you think? Good age is 15, 16? You know?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're going to get a lot of different opinions on that, but yeah. I would certainly teenager maybe start having maybe not all those detailed conversations. Again, it depends on the family. I'm sure it depends on the child as well. But certainly college age, I think, is a good time where most of our families, I think, feel more comfortable having those conversations.
Yeah, my daughter the other day, why I thought about that, my daughter the other day said, hey, Dad, we didn't do our family meeting this year. Are we going to get one done this year? And I smiled. I said, call your brother, Michael. He was supposed to set that up. His responsibility.
Yes, I know.
Anyway, so just if you could get your kids used to that, it just reminds them that that you have things in place, but it's also you share your values with the kids too, because things ebb and flow as time goes on. So you might want to change your estate plans based on feedback from your children on a bunch of fronts. So it's good to stay connected with them, make sure they're up to speed on what you and your spouse or the you know first gen is wants to go to the second gen and even to the third gen.
Yeah, no, I think that's great. I'm making notes here. I need to schedule the family meeting. Yeah. So.
All right. So what's the final thing, guys?
The final thing is clean out your closet. We had this conversation a few podcasts ago. I want to remind people when you pass this world, you have stuff left behind. So do yourself a favor. Go through whatever closet you have, any bookcases, anything you have in boxes. Make sure you spend time going through it and make sure you dump the junk that you don't want, and you want to keep the stuff you do want. It helps from an estate planning standpoint. It cleans everything up, because if you don't do that now, everybody else is going to do it. Well, you normally hear it. That's not a lot of fun. So that's my closing thoughts.
Yeah, no, I would agree. It's again, I know we've probably threw a lot at you guys as the audience listening. Hopefully some of it resonated with you and at least kind of reminded you of things that are changing. And of course, anyway, it gets back to tax laws. They're always changing. It's, I guess, the reality we live in here in the U.S. anyway, and probably in other parts of the world as well. So it's important to pay attention to it and be proactive.
So if somebody has some questions, guys, how do we get in touch with you?
Well, you can reach us on LinkedIn. That's probably the best place to reach out to us on. Both my father and I have our own pages. Copper Beach has its own page as well. If you'd like to give us a call, you can call us at area code 856-988-8300. And our website is www.cbfgllc.com.
Okay. Well, thank you both.
Oh, thanks, Wendy.
Thank you for listening today. Please like, follow, and share this podcast. Until next time, I'm Wendy McConnell.
Thank you for listening to the Truth About Wealth podcast. Click the subscribe button below to be notified when new episodes become available. The information covered and posted represents the views and opinions of the guest and does not necessarily represent the views or opinions of Copper Beach Financial Group. The content has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The content is not intended to be a substitute for professional investing advice. Always seek the advice of your financial advisor or other qualified financial service provider with any questions you may have regarding your investment planning.
This material is for informational purposes only. Neither APFS nor its representatives provide tax, legal, or accounting advice. Please consult your own tax, legal, or accounting professional before making any decisions. Copper Beach is not affiliated with American Portfolios Financial Services, Inc. and American Portfolios Advisors, Inc. Securities offered through American Portfolio Financial Services, Inc., a member of FINRA SIPC, investment advisory and financial planning services offered through American Portfolio Advisors, Inc., an SEC-registered investment advisor. These opinions are subject to change at any time without notice. Any comments or postings are provided for informational purposes only and do not constitute an offer or a recommendation to buy or sell securities or other financial instruments. Readers should conduct their own review and exercise judgment prior to investing. Investments are not guaranteed, involve risk, and may result in a loss of principal. Past performance does not guarantee future results. Investments are not suitable for all types of investors. Copper Beach is an unaffiliated entity of American Portfolios Financial Services, Inc. and American Portfolios Advisors, Inc. Any opinion expressed in this forum is not the opinions of American Portfolio Financial Services, Inc. and American Portfolio Advisors, Inc. and have not been reviewed by the firm for completeness or accuracy.
American Portfolios and Copper Beach Financial Group are not affiliated with any other named business entities mentioned.